In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what I want to do in this section is just reflect on the various endings of Mark and then discuss some general remarks about the Gospel, Mark's theology, his accents, and so forth. So, the text that we're looking at is this last text, and I just want to look at some of these remarks. First thing I'm going to make remark I'm going to make here, and then I'll pick it up later. One of the characteristics of Mark's gospel is the war with Satan, and the way that Mark alludes to that. For instance, in one point in chapter 3 of Mark, his enemies say about Jesus, he's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons. And Jesus called to them and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then indeed he may plunder his house, saying that there's one stronger than Satan who's come into this world. It's no longer just the house of Satan, and he's bound the strong man because he is the stronger one. And that's a very strong theme in Mark. And so we find it in these concluding verses where Mark is summing up. I want to just look now at some of these revelations, some of these appearances of Jesus. He first gives a summary. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene came with the others. And they, in Mark's account, they came, they entered this tomb, saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. I think that word there is one of verse 6. Yeah. Ekthambithisan. It's a key word in Mark. Ekthambesthe. To be overcome with awe. And fear. And he said to them, do not be amazed, the same word. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. Now in the Greek rite, in the Byzantine rite, this gospel is read at the very beginning of the liturgy after a procession outside the church. And when it says there, he has risen, everybody stops and prays. And chance. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. And that's that famous message which happens, the empty tomb, the message of the angel which I just read to you, the women's fear. And that ends it, down at verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So in the Greek text, the text ends, ephobuntur gar, and because they were afraid. End of gospel. So everybody says, there's got to be more. And in antiquity, the same thing. So as we've already pointed out, there are the verses 9 to 20, which take elements from the tradition, some written, some oral. First, in 9 to 11, there is the appearance to Mary Magdalene. And she went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. That's the disciples' reaction. And then there's another one, summing up the appearance on the way to Emmaus. He appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they would not believe them either. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they sat at table, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And then he commissions them in his mercy. You see, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then Mark adds, or maybe that's Jesus, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, it's Jesus. They will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then, in two verses, Mark gives the account of the ascension. Probably Mark, I'm not sure, nobody is, but that rounds out the gospel. So that is the first. That's the appearance to Mary Magdalene, and the appearance to the 12. And now we have, in two more verses, the ascension of Jesus. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Something happened to them. They were afraid, but now they're not afraid. And they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. Amen. And that is the end. But then, there are some other things that happen that I'm going to mention. I'm going back now and mention. You see, the women were afraid, so they did nothing. And then we have these stories that we've just mentioned. Huh? And then the next verses, 12 to 13, Mark 16, these verses 12 to 13, we have this mention. In other words, Mark or somebody collected other incidents regarding the resurrection of Jesus, the appearance to Mary Magdalene, the appearance to the two disciples, and then the commissioning. You see, and so when they were all seated at the table, he came and he blamed them for their lack of faith and their hardness of heart, that those they would not believe those who had seen him alive and risen. And so he said to them, he didn't believe, but now he heals that, you see. And going forth to the whole world, preach the Evangelion, preach the good news, to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And then finally, along with that commission, the signs of the believers will be following. In my name they will cast out demons. Do you notice, as I'm going to point out in a few minutes, the war with Satan is very, very accented in Mark's gospel. They'll speak with new tongues, and they will put their hands on the sick. They will pick up serpents, and they will be not hurt by them. And they'll drink poisonous things. And then the Lord Jesus, after having said these things to them, was taken up into heaven and seated at the right of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord strengthening their word by the following signs, or by the signs that followed. And that's the way Mark's gospel ends. Now, what I want to look at now is some other qualities about Mark's gospel.